And hello, this is the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philowitt. Having fun with type 1 diabetes since, oh lordy, I just can't remember. Guy over there would be Dopey Maxwell.
Riding sidecar to you with type 2 diabetes, and we're learning how to make it better, how to help you make it better, and we're on the radio, and this is our time.
Through one difficult half hour at a time. So we'll try our best this time.
Well, diabetes is a difficult disease, is it not?
I like the way you tied that in to there. Yes, it is.
And it's not something when, you know, you got cancer, you know, you get the friends around you, you fill out the will. Diabetes, well, I can sneak a Twinkie every once in a while.
It's devilish in that way.
Okay, I can trick or treat. I can have some Tootsie Rolls. They're small.
And then next thing you know, you only need one shoe. But yeah, get the idea there. I tell you what, let's jump right into the news.
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
Also, if you're joining us for the first time, we do have a website.
Oh, that's right. See, it's been a while.
Because you are the webmaster, Mr.
Yeah,
One Shoe.
Yeah, that's true. TheDiabeticShow.com. Or you can find us on the Facebook. Or you can... That's good enough. We'll get there.
We have questions. That's the thing. People do find us.
Yeah, actually, we do. We have a couple good questions.
I can't track you down to see if you're going to come to the show, but the public finds us. So we're on to something.
Well, yeah, let's not go far with that. Okay, to the news. Interesting stuff here, Dobie. Yo-yo starvation diets. It's kind of like the latest thing with diets in general.
Is it like binge-watching TV?
Apparently... I had nothing good to say to that, so we'll move on. Apparently,
no, but I'm saying, I think it's the mindset of today is what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm very serious about that. Absolutely, yeah. Where you starve yourself for a couple of days. Every starvation diet has its little idiosyncrasies.
Like the supermodels, they eat Kleenex for a month, they do the shoot for Vogue, then they're at Culver's
with a French fry.
Yeah,
that's true. This one apparently, according to scientists. Preliminary findings, phase one. Most of the stuff we deal with is kind of all phase one, preliminary,
sure,
small. Yeah, but this one apparently, reboots pancreatic cells, basically reversing diabetes. Mm-hmm. I saw you almost fall off the swivel there.
Right.
Yeah. Now, this is U.S. experts, they're calling it an astonishing result. Apparently only in mice so far. So, once again, mice get the inside track with the cure. It raises the prospect of treating the condition without drugs that regulate blood sugar.
There are diabetic mice.
Well, interesting point in the story. They create diabetic mice.
Mm-hmm.
Let me.
How would you get that little syringe in there to check their blood sugar?
here's the deal. See, I'm trying to get to the mice. One group had a gene mutation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people we worked with.
Yeah.
A long time ago, though, we can't use last names. They prevented their bodies from responding properly to the blood sugar regulating hormone insulin. That's a trademark condition of type 2 diabetes known as insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed that earlier in other shows. The other mice were treated with a chemical that destroys the insulin secreting beta cells in the pancreas. This, my friend, is pure type 1 diabetes, an autoimmune disease, wipes out those beta cells. So what they're basically doing is they have people, or these mice with type 1s and type 2s, they benefited immensely from, they're calling it a fasting mimicking diet, FMD, to you and me, Timmy. It was developed by a professor at the University of Southern California, initially as a way to prevent cancer patients from the toxic effects of chemo. It involves monthly fasting cycles, in which a chemical consumption is cut drastically by about two-thirds for 5 days. And so for, like, mainly with men, we get maybe 2,500 calories in a day.
Sure.
And women, about 2,000. So basically, they're doing this for two-thirds of this for 5 days. Then the patient returns to normal levels of food intake for the remaining 25 days.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those days... Well, it says here you can eat what you want, but if we've been doing this long enough, if you eat what we want, it doesn't matter how long
they'll find
fat.
Us slumped over the steering wheel with the horn going.
Yes, with the remainder of the Whopper in your clenched fists, thanks to the, Anyway, the deal is for the laboratory mice, their diet was adapted by having their calorie intake halved on day one, cutting it to just 10% of normal levels in days 2 to 4.
What is a mouse's daily caloric intake?
Again, I think it's the raising of the individual mice.
Break the little piece of cheese in half.
Yeah, you know, they have themselves, you know,
a doting
grandma. Yeah, that's that. But anyway,
I'm just trying to picture a mouse's pancreas that you're talking about.
And I like the way you're patting the story. The mice
like
were allowed to eat as much as they wanted after those 4 days for 10 days to rebuild their body weight. Okay? Apparently, this is called rebooting the pancreatic cells or the body or the pancreas. I don't quite get it.
So they're going to try this on humans, or they already have?
Well, they're, according to Professor Longo, I should give him his name here, cycles of fasting, mimicking diet, and a normal diet essentially reprogrammed non-insulin-producing cells into insulin-producing cells. I guess that's the cure. Well, you know, again, initial studies, I think they did with a, they're about to do it with 100 real people, so that will be interesting. It seems like every day we're finding ways to get rid of diabetes.
Well, it came, I mean, it was always been around, but I mean, it just made a very big statement. This is like the golden years of the past decade or two decades because of the horrible diet that we eat.
You know, it I guess it is that simple. If you look at the, and I use the American diet. Mm-hmm. I call it the American diet. It's usually in a line of other cars because you're too lazy to get up and order the 2,000-calorie lunch from whatever your fast food establishment might be. Mm-hmm. And then you wash it down with a diet. I always like that. Let's just pull a Scottish restaurant out of the blue, which we won't mention because they don't give us advertising dollars. And they would always say, would you like that supersized? And you get all these people, oh, sure, super, but can I have a diet?
Well, I'm sure that could be a whole show itself, and the chemicals in there will grow you a third head.
Well, if you're lucky, because at least then you get a good, you know, carnival job.
Now, I was watching this. I was in Canada and doing a comedy gig in Calgary, Canada, and they would never show this in the United States. And they had a program on the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which came from the BBC in England, the 10 worst things that you can put in your body. And no jokes here, seriously. And they talked about crisps. Those are like Fritos, Doritos, whatever. They call
classy
them crisps
words,
over
yeah.
there. And the number two and one in no order, they couldn't decide, was diet soda and regular soda. They said, take your pick. It's poison either way. The sugar is bad in itself, and also the chemicals in there.
Well, see, if you can't pronounce it, don't put it in your body.
If it tastes good, spit it out.
So many
Jack LaLanne said that.
Jack, and look at him.
But there was a guy who was sickly and really focused on his health and was 92, you know, towing a boat with his tooth, you know, his teeth. Seriously, no joke.
Yeah.
He did all those things on his birthdays when he got 80, 85, 90.
Great guy. I grew up in Southern California back before people ruined it. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great show. He was the first guy who was up there doing his jumping jacks and uh-huh. calisthenics. And he had, I can't remember his wife's name, but married for 1,500 years.
Sure.
I mean, just in love. And he did juicers. That's where he made a lot of his money. Mm-hmm. Jack LaLanne juicers. I think he sold them on Home Shopping Network, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you could find them in pretty much any thrift store in America now for $3. So you
yeah.
could feed the diabetic mice with the little, you know, 12 calories of cheese. You could juice their cheese if you want.
You're
but he made
out.
Millions.
You're always looking out but for those little rodents.
No, what I'm trying to say is we all think good, like January 2nd, we're gung-ho, we're going to eat whole wheat, we're going to read the Bible and help little ladies across the street, and then we're snorting frosting by the 5th of January, and it's all over.
I put it off until Valentine's Day. I made it 30 out there.
No, but we're on the radio to help you, because when you're listening to this and you're in your car and you have no idea who these goofs are on your radio, we're talking to you because we're the same people. We're not clinical. We're trying to survive like everybody else.
No, we just made poor choices in the career.
Yeah, but it gets the cards get dealt to you. It's how you play the hand.
Ooh, again.
I'm not trying to be Master Po from Kung Fu here.
Master
Po. Sense.
You keep dropping these 70s lines.
Either people are going to love our show or they're going
to... Oh, you can hear the clicking. It's
okay. Yeah, we have a focused audience.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a guy named Larry in Sturdivant.
Yeah, and Troy, pressing buttons. He's forced
to. Troy has to be here.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, the whole point was results from the small phase one trial published by the Journal of Science Translational Medicine last week showed that the three cycles of this diet reduced body weight, lowered blood pressure, improved fasting blood sugar control, and decreased levels of the hormone insulin-like growth 1. It's an IGF-1 if you're into acronyms, it's linked to some cancers. So apparently, they left that little part into the very end. They kind of left that dangling like so many participles in my sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe there's some cancer involved, but you're losing weight. I think it's time for the break.
I think it is, too.
But on the way back, assuming we'll have listeners on the other side of this.
I think we will.
We'll be talking with Donna Swanson, and we'll be going on the continuing realm of how to continue being healthier.
And Donna talked to us about off air about helping us be motivated. So we need her. We'll take a quick break and be right back and get motivated.
And a couple really good questions off the website.
Stay with us.
Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Fulwin.
My name is Dobie Maxwell.
And we thank you so much for listening to this.
Well, this has been going, and we do have listeners. We have questions. So if you'd like to be part of our show, we would love to have you in any way, shape, or form.
The website's the best and easiest for everyone. TheDiabeticShow.com. Facebook, The Diabetic Show. And Dobie, if you look up Dobie Maxwell, you're going to find all sorts of things on the internet. Of course, we like to say ignore most of the things and concentrate on the, you know.
Well, the FBI said I have to have some of it up there. So.
And let's remember, it's not until you're convicted. We'll leave it at that. Again, thank you so much for listening in. We welcome to the
yes
to the room. It's been a while. We're getting our rhythm back. It's going to take a few more days. We would like to thank Donna Swanson from UHS, United Hospital System, joining us, giving us that much-needed credibility. Thanks so much for joining us today, Donna.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Okay, now, give us a little bit more of your background. It's been a while.
Well, I am a registered nurse and certified diabetic educator over at United Hospital System. We have a diabetes self-management program that we run in the outpatient setting.
Which I participated in.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Very, very good.
Yes. Excellent. I have an endocrine background. I don't know what else you want to know.
Break that down a little bit. Endocrine.
Endocrine is in the endocrine system, all things hormone.
I was going to say hormonal everything. Right.
Yes.
Okay. And she's been with us for some time now. We really do appreciate it.
Legitimizing our wackiness.
Yeah.
We appreciate that because hopefully real people will listen. We would look very sincerely.
Yes.
No, I mean very sincerely. We're looking for someone that has a real, you know, you brought your daughter in, you have life, and you have, that's not clinical. And that's why I think our show, if it's going to be popular with the people it's going to be popular with. So we appreciate you.
Well, let me speak as a... I'm not going to use the word disciple of Donna. That sounds a little extreme. But as a student of what she teaches, because I have been to a few of the meetings, it starts off one-on-one. And I think the one thing I learned most from you, Donna, is every day, you have to look at every day as a new day. And you wake up, you do the blood sugar. You adjust. You measure out your carbs. And for the diets that you and the... the eating habits that you folks are asking us to do really centers around carbs, at least nowadays. Carb counting, measuring the amount, well, for type 1s, the amount of insulin that you're balancing with the amount of carbs that you're taking in. Then you're mixing in all the exercise, the stress of life. And then you're getting through that whole day through measuring your blood sugar 3-4 times, depending. And then you do it all again the next day. And for me... boy, that gets tough after a week or two. Days start to seem like the same after a while.
You know, Mark, you bring up a really good point, and it's interesting to hear it from your perspective, for me, mm-hmm. as an educator, because everybody looks at it a little bit differently. And I always have to remind myself that everybody's an individual. So what your goals might be would be different for the next person. For example, what I mean is, as a type 1 living with diabetes, you're measuring 3-4 times a day. Some patients with type 1 measure 6-8 times a day. Mm. Some patients with type 2 might be measuring only or testing their blood sugar only one time a day. They could be testing up to 4. So everybody's situation's a little bit different, and it depends on what stage of the disease they're in, because both types of diabetes are progressive. Now, or changes over time, I should say. Type 2 is progressive. Type 1 just changes over time. So getting back to, what we expect or what we ask of patients, really, it's not about us. I always try to encourage patients and let them know that, first and foremost, your prognosis, long-term prognosis, relies very heavily on how you self-manage day-to-day. So that being said, I could tell you all the right stuff day one, all the right stuff day two, give you all the tools that you need to be successful and live with this disease 50 years and never end up with a complication. I could do everything perfect, but it's what you do with that information at the end of the day that makes the real difference, and that's going to determine your prognosis. So I could be the best or the worst. Really, what's most important is that you get the information and that you know how to utilize it.
I got it. Here's my hardest thing working with the program. It's going to sound sloppy and terrible. Forgetting. Mm-hmm. Every day, like I say, some days, I'm in my 50s now, days, they melt. They melt into weeks, into months, into years. And there's Troy across the board, has no idea what I'm talking about, being young. And anyway. But the point is, there are some days I'm not sure if I did it that day or the day before. And
you bring up a great point. You are not alone in that at all. And it ties totally into what we were talking about today with motivation.
And we never pre-talk. We have to lay this out. Dobie brings it up all the time because generally we'll babble between sessions. No babble because, you know, the true pros.
It's real.
Exactly. So please, you're making me sound good. Continue.
Okay. So one of the things that I really wanted to bring up today was motivation, because it's that time of year, like you were talking about earlier. Everybody talks about first of the year, we're setting New Year's resolutions, all this stuff. The weather's getting warmer. Everybody's going to start getting out. A couple of the cornerstones to diabetes management is diet and exercise and all that. And the weather gets better, people get more active. Well, when it comes to motivation, forgetting, these little habits that tie into self-management day to day, one of the things I was looking through today and see what some of the best tips I've heard for motivating patients, because really it's self-driven. Mm. Nothing I can say is going to really motivate somebody
to do what needs to be done. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. It's going to come from that person. But some of the tips, and I found through experience and over the years, that I get some of the best tips for managing diabetes from patients, people who live with it. And so I pulled up a bunch of stuff that were from patients with diabetes, and to your point with sometimes I forget, sometimes. So one of the things, we set goals, and you probably remember this, we set goals with patients, and we try not to tell people, oh, set this goal, set that goal. But we sort of try to direct a little bit.
I like that. You can get me through the flaming hoop without making me feel the burn. I don't know I'm going through a hoop. I like that.
Well, but it's real important that person decides what they want to work on. And we always try to make sure that those goals are measurable and that they are attainable. So if you're forgetting, to your point of the testing, some days I forget, if your goal is to test 4 times a day, okay, how am I going to remember to test 4 times a day? Maybe I'll set an alarm right when I wake up. Now everybody has a smartphone. Set the alarm on your phone to test at specific times every day. I'm going to test at 8 a.m., noon, 6, and then right before bed at 10. That way, you've got an instant reminder. I mean, there's many ways to peel a potato. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's many ways. But I would recommend, in general, start with small, measurable, attainable goals, and then watch yourself hit those. But when people take on too much at once, it becomes overwhelming, and they usually fail. So I would, and then when it comes to testing, that's, for me, that's one of the easier ones. And I know everybody's different.
Sure.
Because I'm not the one who has to do it. That's why it's so easy. But the reality is, if you take on too much, it's easy to get overwhelmed, discouraged, all of that. So once you get into the habit, it becomes much easier. So I'm a big advocate for saying, let's get people started on the right foot. Let's get those habits built within the first couple of weeks. How many times does it take to build a habit? You know,
the 21 days, right?
You know what? That's the one I always remember.
According to Tony Robbins courses.
But
21 days. I have all those books, which I use as, you know,
paperweight
coasters.
So there's specific reasons why we instruct the way we do them, why we want people to set goals and do these things, because we want those habits built from the get-go. Because if they do, then it becomes much easier for them.
What's the difference when you tell me what to do to help my diabetes and Dobie with the type 2?
Well, ideally, I love the way you just phrase that, because if I tell people what to do, they're going to leave there and say, okay, I'm being told what to do.
Really?
Well,
see, I
subconsciously,
look at that differently.
You know. It depends.
Okay.
I mean, everybody's an individual, so yeah. I will concede to that. But I try to avoid telling people what to do. I really, and it's hard sometimes because you're trying to direct and you're. But really, what I want, my goal is as an educator, provide the information so that patient can make those self-determined choices, make good informed decisions. Because ultimately, we're all in charge of our own body, and if I tell somebody, okay, you need to test 4 times a day, you need to take this insulin, or you need to go and exercise 30 minutes a day, even though it's all the right advice, really.
Right.
It's that person's going to have to go home and figure out how to do it. So really, I find that we're better served by helping people form a plan and say, okay, what are your goals? Do you want to focus on healthy eating? Do you want to focus on what are your activity goals? What do you want to do? Do you even want to do activity? If this person has no desire to do activity, and I'm sitting here wasting all this time trying to get them to want it, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be counterproductive.
Serious question. The world has changed now with the smartphone age, and it's just not the same world as what it was. Everything's faster. Everybody's got more things to do. Do you find as a professional that patients come in and there's a certain trend that was it better 10 years ago that they would listen to you or your suggestions? Is it now out of control?
You know,
because it's getting a lot harder, like Mark said.
You know, it's what's crazy. I think the technology's gotten so much better that the mindset has really changed around mm-hmm. diabetes. 100 years ago, or let's go back to when glucometers first came out. You would never in a million years, and doctors that have been around for a long time can probably attest to this, when glucometers came out, people were probably excited to use them because they finally had a way to find out what their blood sugar was without having to pee on a stick
mm-hmm.
or go to.
That's right.
So they appreciate, they have a different level of appreciation. It's sort of like patients that have had diabetes 50 plus years have a different mindset and a different attitude towards their diabetes than patients that are newly diagnosed that I see many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the big difference is people that have had it 50 plus years don't mind the injection quite as much. I mean, they get sick of it like everybody else. Nobody wants to do this. But they understand the need. And where sometimes it can take a long time to teach somebody and help them understand the need to change their regimen, that, you know, complications and things like that come from uncontrolled blood sugar. So we, you know, the goals are different for everybody, but the mindset definitely has changed.
Especially, it's got to be hard if no one else in the house is diabetic. And you're,
right.
You know.
But technology, you know, see, the thing is, I love one of these tips. Mm-hmm. One of them is from a type 1 kid, and he says, instead of thinking about avoiding complications, think about how your better blood sugars can benefit you now. And I like that mindset because when people focus so much on, oh, I don't want this to happen, I don't want that, we don't see what's going on in our body. We don't see, and it's important to stay motivated. It's hard to see when you're eating and hard to think every time I eat, there's a metabolic process going on mm-hmm. and the end result of that. And if you think that way all the time, it's going to get depressing.
Well, you bring up a point. And I, just this morning, doing some prep for the show, I caught a phrase I never saw before. Diabetic distress. And they referred to it, and the first sentence of it was, not to be confused with depression.
Right.
So what's the distress if it's not depression?
I think it's sort of like diabetes burnout. Sometimes you just get sick of having to go through it. Yeah. It's different than depression. You know, depression can be chemical. It can be... but really, it can be fatiguing, you know, over time.
Is there any kind of medical proof that depression and diabetes go together?
Studies have shown that there is a higher incidence, but they find that with a lot of chronic diseases, too.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I haven't seen anything that shows that diabetes causes depression.
How about mice? Are they pretty good?
Yeah, I would
say. Yeah.
Jumping over tables or something?
Again, those mice. But yeah, and it's you bring up a good point too. Before we go to break here, divorce rates much higher for diabetics and people in radio. Points to ponder. As we take the break, we'll be right back with Donna.
My soulmate was killed in a combine accident in 1974.
Oh, as we wipe the tears.
I have a Phillips personality. I can't find anybody to match.
We will. We have a couple of questions off the forum, but we definitely have to talk about. This is the Diabetic Show. Thanks so much for listening. Welcome back to the Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2.
And Donna Swanson, again, our guest on this day. Donna, let's hit a few more points before we go on. We have at least one good question off the website, please.
Okay, so there is just a few tips that I wanted to share. One is start, anytime you're starting a new diabetes regimen or you're getting back on track, try to start with the right attitude. Set realistic goals, break your goals into small steps. Use small successes and to get to larger ones.
You know, that fits on so many different levels.
It does. Focus on what you want. Reward yourself. Reinforce.
I want cake.
Not with
That's
that.
That's what I want.
Reinforce the habit of discipline. That's one of my favorite ones.
Reinforce.
Because it's so rewarding when people do that.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing I can liken it to is when a woman gives birth. They feel like they've climbed Mount Everest after that task, honestly.
Well, so obviously you're the only one that's experienced
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
well, the listeners will know what I'm talking about.
They get the postpartum depression.
And oh, we aren't going to go there.
And, we won't go there.
Well, yeah, remain about, flexible.
We're talking about Dobies, but okay.
Yes, I'm the victim
and
of that.
And then as family. So like we were talking about before, we don't want to be in the business of telling people how to live their lives. We want to be able to
that's
help
That's the government's
people.
Job.
Yep. And... good. It's true, though. But as family members, a lot of times family want to know, how can I help my loved one? And one of the best things that I can tell somebody that is a family member of somebody with diabetes is, if you think that your family member needs to lose weight or needs to stop eating poorly or doing things that they know are bad for them, remember that just because they're bad for somebody with diabetes doesn't mean it's healthy for somebody without diabetes. And what I mean is, if you have somebody and you're like thinking, yeah, my sister has diabetes and she goes to McDonald's every day. Okay. Do you go to McDonald's every day? Are you going to eat McDonald's in front of her? Is that helpful or hurtful? You know, these are the things, self-accountability. When family members want to help, the most success I've seen in diabetes education is when family members work with, they help that person, they help cook, they invite them to things that are going to keep them active. They aren't lecturing. They aren't. That's helpful.
Stupid idea. What about a diabetic buddy?
Yeah, great idea.
Seriously. And
absolutely.
That's not in your family, because your family, you know, if family tells you, yep, don't eat that, well, of course you can. But if someone else that is not, it's,
yep,
it's like a date. You hold in your gas.
Especially if that person's managing successfully.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be around somebody that's going to be Debbie Downer and
right,
dragging you down,
mm-hmm,
with them.
Very good. All right. Of course, we're running out of time here. We have so many great questions. We keep teasing people with that. This isn't the question. This is more of a statement, which is great, I think, off the website. This is from Art Woman with nothing else. And no.
Okay.
She's just learned that the United States Geological Survey, USGS, they have a free lifetime pass for people with permanent disabilities. And they include diabetic type 1 as a permanent disability.
I think it would be. That would cross.
So, I mean, even though we're not disabled, but, you know, perks
what
are perks.
What about lack of fashion sense?
Look, go to USGS online. There's an application form. You fill that out with your proof of U.S. citizenship and a letter from your healthcare provider that you are being treated for type 1 diabetes. $10 processing fee, but hey. So you got all this to look forward to, you know, possible amputations, the blindness, the nerve damage, and free Yellowstone. Lose, win. Anyway, we got to thank everybody. We're running out of time here. Troy, again, for hitting all the